Will? I want to, some of us know these, but just want to kind of remind us of some things. Every Monday afternoon from 4:30 until 6:30, is that right? Four. I usually show up at 4:30 when I come. So 4 until 6:30, we have a dedicated group of men and ladies. Actually, it doesn't just start then. There's a lot of preparation work that goes to it. But specifically from 4 to 6:30 every Monday, there's a few holidays when they take off, and we grant them that. But every Monday from 4 to 6:30, we have a committed group of folks that are here serving this community through our food bank. I have a confession to make. Is that okay about our food bank? And I'll go ahead and apologize, ladies. I'll go ahead and apologize for this in advance. Confession's good for the soul. Okay. A little more than a year ago, when you guys graciously asked us to come and serve as pastor here, I really wasn't sure just how valid, or just how, what's the right word? Significant, that's a good word. How important, how impactful. I just wasn't sure if our food bank was something that we were just doing because we've always done it, or if it had true value. I really didn't know. So one of the first things I did was I prayed about it. And then in praying about it, I just felt the Lord say, you need to go. And just experience it for yourself and see. And I don't go as often as I'd like to. Sometimes I'm out of town. Sometimes it just doesn't work with my schedule. But there's some folks here every Monday. And we have anywhere, sometimes it's 60, sometimes it's up to 100 people, families. These are real people. These are families. Every week that pour through our doors and they hear a gospel presentation every week. They have opportunity to hear and respond to the good news of Christ every week. And then we have specific prayer rooms where the first stop in their visit to our food bank is a prayer room where they sit down one-on-one with one of our prayer counselors. What's going on in your life? What can we pray with you about? We've had people give their life to Christ in those prayer rooms. We've had people healed in those prayer rooms. We've had people baptized in the Spirit in those prayer rooms. And I'm watching all of this. And then they matriculate. They go through the different stages. You know, you just come and see for yourself. And when they leave, man, they have a cart full of just groceries. Everything from canned goods to fresh produce to breads and pastries and chips. And it's unbelievable. And I walked away from that after the very first week, and I said, any doubt, any uncertainty that I may have had is completely eliminated. That is one of the most valid things that we do. I'll say that publicly because I've said it privately. It is absolutely an essential part of the ministry of this. How many families per year do we minister to through that food bank? $2,500 families per year are impacted through that. All of that to say this, listen, keep it on your prayer list. Don't assume that it's all going to be okay and always function like it has. Pray. Pray for that ministry. Pray for those that work and head up that ministry. If God would have you to volunteer. Miss Berta, back there. You can see her. She can point you in the right direction. I point that out to you just simply because it just was on my heart this morning. Please, keep that ministry in your prayer and thank God. Thank God. Thank God for that ministry out of this church. Amen. We also, amen. That's okay. We also meet every Wednesday night. Every Wednesday night. We start out with our community cafe. It is a free meal. Whether you're a member of this church or even an attender at this church, we have some folks that come just on Wednesday nights to get a hot meal. And you know what? I'm okay with that. Because it's not about building a church. It's about building the kingdom. It's about impacting lives and sharing the love of Christ. So we have some folks that come just for our meal on Wednesday nights. And we have children that come on Wednesday nights that we don't see any other time. And I would venture to say they don't hear the name of Jesus any other time during the week except for when they're with us on Wednesday nights. So we want to invite you to come on out. You got to eat dinner anyway. Come on out. The food's already, it's going to be ready for you, 5:45, a hot meal. Sometimes it's rib stick and meatloaf and mashed potatoes, and sometimes it's chicken nuggets, which I like just as good as meatloaf, to be honest with you. Sometimes it's bacon and eggs, sometimes pancakes and sausage. My kids always like it when it's breakfast night. So just come on out. As soon as that's over, we come and we divide up into different groups. There's a prayer meeting that's taking place in here. It's really more than a prayer meeting. It's kind of an exhortation from the Word. It's a time to share one another's burdens. It's praying together. It's loving on each other. And our youth meet upstairs in, I would call it the old sanctuary. It's the refurbished sanctuary. And they meet up there. And they are so, so thankful that pretty soon they won't have to look at me or Ben or whoever. I mean, God bless you, Ben. He fills in for me when I'm gone, and so does Tony. But they're thankful that pretty soon I'm going to be migrating out of that, because be in prayer, in preparations to come right now. Lynchburg is our new youth pastor, Pastor Austin. So be praying for him. He's making that transition. He's going to be kicking. He doesn't know it yet, but he's going to be kicking in full gear here within the next little while. So we're thankful for Pastor Austin coming. Be praying for him, okay? Yeah, amen. And then, of course, there's our children. Where's Lisa? She's got our kids all pumped up and geared up. It's usually hard to get the little ones to sleep. They're all wired, and, you know, they've been playing dodgeball and listening to stories about Jesus and all kinds of stuff. And listen, I say all of that because, we all know that. Listen, maybe we don't all know that. Maybe we don't. So I just want to let you know there are things that happen throughout the week. And then, of course, one of the most vital things that we do is every Friday night. Every once in a while, we'll take a time off. Maybe our schedules just don't work. But for more than a year now, every Friday, with a few exceptions, we've been meeting right here in this sanctuary. Every Friday night. And it's based on what we believe to be a God-given injunction to pray. Based on 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people would pray. And so every Friday night, 7:14, we meet right here for prayer. And usually it's Brother Ben leading that effort. This past Friday, it was Sister Amy in his absence. And I'm always blessed just to be able to come and receive and hear the exhortation from others. And then we just pray. We kneel down, we walk around, we sing, but we just pray. I think this past week we didn't leave until almost 9 o'clock. Just a wonderful time in the Lord. Sometimes there's 5 or 6 of us. Sometimes there's as many as 15 to 20. It just depends. I want to encourage you, if your schedule will allow you, come on out and do it. Listen, I know we're about to turn into a busy season, football games on Friday nights. I get all of that. And listen, there's no condemnation, but if you're free and you feel that God would lead you into that ministry of prayer, we would love to have you join us on Friday nights. Amen? Amen. All right. Well, that's that. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. All right, as you know, or as you may not know, for the past several weeks, we've been looking at this passage from Philippians chapter 4. And our basic premise is this. Here's our starting point for this whole sermon series that we've been looking at from Philippians chapter 4. It is not God's will, it is not God's design for your life that you live a life filled with fear and anxiety and worry. That is not God's plan for you. Now, some folks may think otherwise. They may think, well, you know, it's just my lot in life. I'm a worrier by nature. I'll agree with that. We're all worriers and fretful and fearful by nature. That's why we need to be born again. I said that's why we need to be born again. Because it's not God's plan, especially for His people. Come on. Especially for His people, those that belong to Him. It is not God's plan for us that we live a life filled with fear and uncertainty and anxiety and worry and stress. That's not His plan for us. And so to address that, he has provided us not only the totality of his word, but he's provided us his ongoing spirit. He's provided us all kinds of remedies, if you will. And we find a good number of them. We find kind of an encapsulation, just the remedy that God provides for his people. I see it kind of captured all together in one package in this Philippians chapter 4 passage of Scripture. What does the Bible say? Anything that is not of faith is what? Anything that is not of faith is sin. Now, please understand, I'm not trying to be condemning because I am just as guilty as anyone else. So this is not me from my ivory tower preaching down to the plebeians. That's not it at all. This is me side by side with you saying, brothers, sisters, friends, it's not God's design that we live our lives crippled and intimidated and hobbled by fear and worry and anxiety. That's not God's plan for us. But yet, that's where we find ourselves so often. So, you know, I appreciate your good advice, and hopefully you appreciate my good advice, but your advice is just like my advice. If it comes from our own wisdom, it's faulty, and it's going to fall short. So even though I appreciate what you have to say, what I really want to know is, what does God have to say about this fear and anxiety and worry that cripples me so often? Well, here's what he has to say in one place at least. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 9. We've been going through here systematically over the past several weeks, and so here we find ourselves again. Philippians 4, 4 to 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Man, I've been hanging on to that one this week. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, don't we need truth in this day and age? Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me, or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen. Amen. Again, if you're the kind of person that underlines, now, by the time we're finished with this series, you'll have this whole passage underlined. But if you're the kind of person that underlines and writes in your Bible, or writes in the margin, the thing you would want to underline for today is that passage of Scripture that says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And then skip down and underline that part down there that says, put it into practice. Put it into practice. Amen? First week that we started in with the actual content of this passage of Scripture, we were reminded that one of the things that God has given to us, one of the ways that God has provided for us in dealing with the anxieties that plague us is this whole idea of rejoicing. And again, put it into practice. I heard someone say to me just this morning, they had some small victories this week, and so they begin to rejoice at the small victory. Rejoice in every situation. In the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Remember what we said? Without that prepositional phrase, in the Lord, that's a nonsensical statement. But because that prepositional phrase is there, we can rejoice in the Lord. I challenge you. If you haven't taken on this part of the challenge yet, take it up this week. I challenge you. Find something about which you can rejoice. And when you're doing that, I guarantee you'll not find worry and anxiety plaguing your mind. You cannot rejoice and worry at the same time. It's impossible. The second thing we looked at from this passage was this idea of gentleness. Be gentle. Be gentle. And what I have found is whenever I'm wanting to diffuse a situation, maybe it's some kind of tension, some kind of disagreement, or just a situation that is just filled with uncertainty, and I'm just not sure what to do. A gentle approach really goes a long way, because number one, gentleness, when I take on the posture of gentleness, it not only calms me down, but the person on the other end of my gentleness also begins to enjoy the peace of God. Gentleness. Gentleness. Thank God for a gentle spirit. Amen? So, we learn to rejoice and put it into practice. We learn to be gentle. And by the way, gentleness is not something that... The natural response is one of aggression and defending your... You know, I dare you think you're going to do that to me? But the Bible says that one of the things that is produced when the Holy Spirit is working in us, but the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. So ask the Holy Spirit to begin working in you and produce a gentle attitude and a gentle spirit within you. And then last week, we looked at this idea that just simply knowing, just simply reminding ourselves of the nearness of God, that in and of itself can diffuse all kinds of anxiety. Remember, did anybody watch any slingshot videos this week, by the way? No? Oh, my goodness. I actually went back and watched some again just because I reminded myself of it. And some of them are just, remember the slingshot videos where those guys, the folks are getting ready to go on that slingshot ride, and inevitably one person is a little more fearful than the other? And it was amazing. I would look through a number of those, and the number of anxious, worried, fearful people in those slingshot rides, the number of times that all they wanted to do was just simply reach over and touch and confirm that that person was still near them. They knew they were there. They got strapped in at the same time they did. But there was just something about that anxious, tense moment where just simply being able to reach over and touch someone else's elbow, just know that someone else is there. Listen, the nearness of God, just that fact alone can reduce all kinds of worry and stress and anxiety. Remember what we said? We said he's not only near in his presence, but he's near in his coming. Man, that kind of puts things in priority, doesn't it? All the stuff that causes us all this great concern and we get ourselves all worked up. Listen, in the light of eternity, we're not even going to remember that issue. The Lord is near. And so today we want to look at the next aspect. Now, if we're not careful, I say we, when I say we, I mean me. If I'm not careful, I will have a tendency to start thinking about this passage as a step-by-step. Step one, do this. Step two, do this. Step three. That's not it at all. Rather than thinking of it as a various steps or stages that we can progress through, I'm thinking of it this way. It is the entirety of a package that God has presented to us by way of relieving the anxiety and the fear and the worry and the uncertainty that we face. You want to know, God doesn't just have a single shot. He has a shotgun. I mean, it's not a rifle. It's a broad-banded approach that he's provided for us in relieving the anxieties and the worries of life. And so this week we want to look at the next one. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, present your request to God. Prayer. Anybody, and this is kind of a rhetorical question, because I know the answer to this already, but has anybody ever faced a situation where your problems just seemed unsolvable? Maybe it was an illness. Maybe it was a financial crisis. Maybe there was something going on in your family that there was just absolutely no obvious answer, and you were at your wit's end. And you were pacing the floor, and you were losing sleep over it, and there just seemed to be no solution to your situation. There seemed to be no limit to the weight of the burden. I've actually laid awake at night, and shouldn't confess this maybe, but it's true. I've actually laid awake at night and worried and stressed over situations that seemed impossible. Most often it involved my family in some way. That just seems to be a weakness of mine, is I just, you know, for myself, who cares? But somehow when it begins to impact my family and my ability to care for them and their well-being, it just creates such angst for me. And I just, sometimes I'll lose sleep over it, and I cry until I can't cry anymore. Listen, somebody, you know what I'm talking about. You ever face those situations that just seem completely unsolvable? And I thank God for my brothers and my sisters, and I thank God for people that are in my life who mean well. I do thank God for that. But when you're facing a situation that is just so deep and so dark, and when you're looking at a circumstance that seems completely unsolvable, and when your mountain is just entirely too large, you can't climb over it, you can't dig under it, and it's too big to walk around, you have no idea how this thing's going to be moved. When you're facing a situation like that, even the most well-meaning people, even the advice that you receive, they mean well, and I mean well when I do it to you. And when I'm not trying to disparage other people's advice and other people's good wishes, and I'm not trying to disparage that at all, but sometimes even the most well-meaning words given by others can just seem so inadequate. Well, brother, don't be sad. Rejoice in the Lord. Don't you know the joy of the Lord is just... Listen, I can quote that just as well as you can. I'm hurting. Well, you know, David, when he was discouraged, he encouraged himself in the Lord. Just encourage yourself, brother. Yeah. You have no idea how much I'm hurting. You have no idea how big this mountain is. And I know, brother, I know, sister, that you mean well. And you probably feel this way about me, and I wouldn't blame you, because... So we offer the best advice that we can. And we do our very best out of our own limitation to encourage one another. And we ought to try to do that. But there's sometimes when even the best advice and even the most well-meaning encouragement just doesn't seem to work. It's just not making a difference. And so there's nothing like, in those moments, in those situations, there's nothing like taking our burdens and our situations to the Lord. This is a familiar hymn, but I want you to hear it with fresh ears today. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do your friends despise and forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. And so when your advice to me and when my advice to you falls feebly short and is woefully inadequate, I mean well, but I'm just human, just like you are. I'm not trying to be flippant, and neither are you, but sometimes even the wisest words and even the most well-meaning advice that we can give to someone, when they're facing an unmovable situation, they just fall so short. And I'll talk to you, and you can talk to me, but when we're done realizing how inadequate we both are, let's talk to Jesus. You know, I don't know. I can only speculate, and that's really all this is. But I just wonder if when he wrote this passage of Scripture, if the Apostle Paul, he was the writer of this passage, by the way, was writing to the believers in the church in Philippi. I just wonder if he had Psalm 37 in his mind. Go back and read Psalm 37 sometimes, because in the first 8 verses, just in verses 1 to 8 of Psalm 37, listen to some of the words that are spoken in that psalm. Verse 1, do not fret. Verse 3, trust in the Lord. Verse 4, take delight in the Lord. Verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Verses 7 and 8, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. I don't know if he was thinking about Psalm 37, or he actually may have had in his mind something that he had heard from one of those disciples, one of either Matthew or Mark or Luke, or one of those guys that was walking with Jesus when he was alive on the earth. I really don't know, but it sounds a little bit to me like maybe he was influenced by the very teaching of Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 6. Remember that great Sermon on the Mount? In Matthew chapter 6, we find some passages that seem to just maybe have been an inspiration to the apostle. I really don't know, but could be that when Matthew was telling him about Jesus' teaching, that it inspired Paul. Because in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, Jesus says, pray to your Father who is unseen. Verse 9, he continues and he says, pray this way, our Father who art in heaven. All the way down then in verse 25, he says this, therefore, I'm telling you, do not worry. Jesus saying, I mean, it's one thing for Paul to say it. This is Jesus telling us not to worry. And in verses 28 to 30, he asks it in numerous ways. He's basically asking this question, why do you keep on worrying? In verse 31, he goes on again. He says, don't worry. And in verse 34, he says it 2 different times. So therefore, do not worry. Don't worry. Do you think maybe Jesus doesn't want us to worry? That seems an obvious conclusion to me. Jesus doesn't want us to worry. And so it seems that somehow, whether he intentionally did this or whether it was by unintentional orchestration of the Spirit of God, somehow it seems that the truths found in Psalm 37 and the truths found in Matthew chapter 6 are squeezed all together right here into this one verse in Philippians chapter 4 when Paul says, do not be anxious about anything. Don't worry about anything. But instead, in every situation, pray and ask God. And so, hopefully this has occurred to you by now, one of the remedies, a part of God's prescription for us in relieving the anxieties that plague our life is the whole privilege of prayer. It sounds simple, but it is so profound. Let's just think about how we say things sometimes. Someone comes to us and they share a situation, they make us aware of a specific need, something going on in their life, and we'll say, well, I'm just so sorry to hear that. Is there anything I can do? Just let me know. I'll be good. Do you need someone to come over and help you with that thing? And those are all great responses, by the way. What can I do for you? I don't have much, but can I help you in some way. And all of that's wonderful. Please understand, I'm not in any way. Those are always appropriate to show those kinds of expressions of love and appreciation within, especially within the body of Christ. But sometimes, and I've been guilty of this. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. I don't know. But I know I've been guilty of this. Sometimes I would get to the end of a conversation like that and say, well, there's really not much I can do. I suppose all I can do is pray for you. Almost as if prayer, Brother Fred, almost as if prayer becomes our last resort. Well, you know, I don't have a lot of money that I can give to you, and my time is pretty occupied. I'm a pretty busy guy, so I don't know that I actually come over and visit you in some way. You know, I'm not sure I know the right people to connect you with. It seems like I'm just kind of powerless and unable to help you in any way. I suppose the only thing I can do is pray. Maybe you're not that way, but I've been guilty of doing that before. Almost as if, well, since I am inadequate, I suppose we'll have to talk to God about it. Oh, God, forgive me. And if that's you, God forgive you too. Because in all seriousness, look, in all seriousness, prayer ought not be our last resort. It ought to really be a first response. I just love it when I'm talking to people and, you know, we're sharing and pretty soon a situation that's troubling me or some burden that I have comes up and I love it. You know, sometimes the occasion doesn't present itself, but sometimes it'll look this way. Well, you know, all right, I'll be praying for you. Have a good day. And sometimes that's really all we can do. You know, sometimes time and circumstances or whatever, that's really the most appropriate. But what I really love is when we're talking like that and a situation arises and they say, well, I'll be praying for you. Matter of fact, let's pray right now. I mean, you'd be in the grocery store. You'd be wherever you are. In the lobby, you don't have to wait for some Reverend Big Shot to open up this altar with a magic key. Man, we can, in the parking lot, it doesn't matter. We can just pray with one. Let me just pray with you right now. And you don't have to kneel down and go into some great big long week's prayer and fasting. You just pray. Just pray. Just pray one for another. Wow, what an awesome. What an awesome thing. And I'm not as good at that as I should be, but I'm better than I used to be. I am getting better with that. I'm getting better with that. That prayer not be my last resort, but that it be my first response. And so Paul begins his admonition. He begins his passage by saying, do not be anxious. Do not be anxious. Now, it's a little bit difficult to tell in the English language. It almost seems like an encouragement in English. Just, yeah, don't worry about it. Don't worry. It's okay. Take it easy. Just relax. Don't be anxious. But actually, it's much more than just a passive suggestion. In the original language, it's actually a command. It is a command. The word that is used there is marimnao, and it literally means this. That word translates this way. To pull apart in different directions. Oh, and the picture that comes to mind, you know, the old punishment of being drawn and quartered. That's the picture that comes to mind. Don't let fear and anxiety and worry and uncertainty, don't let those things tear you apart. Think about your own mind. Think about your own emotions. Whenever you're going through, what do we say? This has just got me tore all to pieces. Exactly. It's tearing you apart. Don't let that happen. And it's not a passive, you know, you shouldn't act that way. It'd be better off if you wouldn't be so torn up over this. It's not a passive suggestion. It is a command. Listen, child of God, stop it. Don't let that happen to you. Don't be torn apart by fear and worry and anxiety. Don't do it. Well, that's easy for you to say. No, it's actually not easy for me to say. I've preached this thing to myself 100 times this week. It's not so easy, but it's true nonetheless. How many of you are familiar with the Message version of the scripture? Now, it has some difficulties to it. It's a paraphrase. It's not a translation. So we keep that in mind. But there are some interesting observations that are made in the Message, that particular version or that particular paraphrase of the scripture. Listen to Philippians. Listen to this Philippians passage in the Message. Listen to this. This is really cool. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praise, I love this part. Let petitions and praise shape your worries into prayer, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come in and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. I love that. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness will come in and settle you down. Isn't that really what we need? We're all worked up and we're being torn apart by that thing. And by the way, sometimes it's big enough to tear you apart. I'm not trying to minimize the struggles and the difficulties there. I'm not trying to minimize that at all. But understand, it's tearing you apart. It's killing you. Somehow, just turning to God in prayer, God guards our heart and He guards our mind, and He just comes in and He just says, all right, now settle down. Just settle down. I don't want anybody telling me that unless it's God. You know, when I get worked up, the last thing was, settle down now. Settle down. You ain't seen unsettled yet. But when God does it, it's a different story, because here's the God who loves me. Here's the God who made me. Here's the God who has no intention that I live my life torn apart by fear and anxiety. And it's that God who comes to me and says, you know what? Just settle down. Almost as if He's saying, peace, be still. And all of a sudden, the things that were tearing me limb from limb just a moment ago, the Bible says in His presence there's fullness of joy. And at His right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Just settle down. Just relax. Just enjoy my nearness. Just relax. Talk to me. Let's talk a while, shall we? Then a question arises. Listen. I don't ever want to paint a picture that is ideal and not realistic. And I know what time it is, but I need you to hang on with me. Can we do that for just a few more minutes, I promise? Some people would say, but how in the world, Pastor, you're telling me that don't worry. You're telling me it's a command. How in the world is it possible to not worry? It's counterintuitive. The bigness of my situation screams that I ought to be worried. Every detail and every circumstance of my life is just crying out, you ought to be worried about this thing. If there's ever been a time to worry, now is it. And so it's counterintuitive. It doesn't even make any sense to have you step into the middle of my mess and tell me to stop worrying. Well, that's easy for you to say. And we'll even justify it sometimes. We'll say, well, you know, whenever something is really, really troubling me, I almost feel a responsibility to worry about it. We do that. Well, you know, it's almost as if I don't really care if I'm not worried. I'm afraid that if I don't worry and pace the floor and wring my hands over this, someone will think that I'm not concerned. We do that. But you don't know, it's in my nature. You know, I was just raised this way. It just comes natural to me. Stop it. Knock it off. You're killing yourself. It's ripping you apart. You don't have to live that way. God has a remedy. See, when we refuse to worry, it doesn't mean that we're not concerned, but it's a recognition that worry is not helpful. If you could ever point to me a situation where you worrying and having anxiety over a situation has made it better on the other side, I'm willing to listen. We can do that right now if you'd like. But you know as well as I know, worry and anxiety, the only thing it does is it gets you torn apart, and your situation is still the same when you're done worrying over it. And so rather than worrying and stressing and being filled with anxiety over a situation, pray. Because you see, your worry won't change anything. But when you pray, God starts working. And He can accomplish more by His work than you will ever do through your worry. You see, prayer is a mechanism. It's the mechanism by which we literally change clothes. And we lay aside a garment of heaviness and we put on a garment of praise. See, we're going to go all the way back to the beginning of that passage. Rejoice! Well, I don't know if I can rejoice in my situation. Pray. And in doing so, you lay aside that heavy garment and you take on a garment of peace and praise. And it happens through prayer. It's through prayer, Brother Fred, that we recognize the nearness of God. We talked about that last week. Rejoice. Be gentle. Remember, God is near. How do I know that God is near? I recognize His nearness when I pray. We talked about this Friday night, dude. This was something the Lord was blessing me with. When we pray, get this. This is cool the way this circles around. When we pray, it enables us to recognize the nearness of God. And when we recognize the nearness of God, it gives us the ability to pray. Did you get that? How do we know that God is near? You recognize His nearness through prayer. And once you come to realize just how near He is, it makes me want to pray. Wow. Wow. Amazing, this provision of God. So don't be anxious. But instead, in every situation, let's look at that one for just a minute. In every situation, the answer that's being, the question that's being asked here is, when should I pray? Well, the answer is given in the words themselves, in every situation. Every single one. Every one of them. Not just the ones that seem most pressing. Last Friday night, I keep mentioning this, but last Friday night was an amazing confirmation to this series we've been going through. We were preparing to leave. We were walking out the door, and I told him, I said, I forgot my church keys. Don't leave. I don't want to be the last one here because I don't have the ability to lock up. And so we're all just, okay, well, we're all going to leave at the same time. Well, we're preparing to leave, and we get out in the parking lot. We'd actually already closed the door, set the alarm. We get out in the parking lot, and Amy, I love you, sis. You're going to let me embarrass you. Amy says, I can't find my keys. She couldn't find the keys to her van. And she had given them to one of her children earlier, and said, well, what did you do with them? I don't know what I did with them. And so we're in here, and we're turning on the lights, and we're using flashlights, and we're looking underneath the, well, this is the pew where you were sitting, and we're looking with flashlights. Go back in the nursery. Did you have them? And we have no idea. No idea where those keys are. And we just said, Lord, you know where those keys are. You know exactly where those keys are. Ain't no need for us to stress and worry and get anxious. This is, you know where those keys are. And then pretty soon, the lights on the van just started going, beep, beep, beep. It started beeping. And we're like, what in the world's going on? And we look down, and there's Priscilla. She's walking through the lobby with it. Beep, beep. She's just clicking. It was awesome. You talk about a direct hand. Lord, you know where those keys are. Beep, beep, beep. But now here's the thing. She didn't want to give them up. Amy had to steal him away. Give me those keys. No, 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 no. But he, listen. Oh, that's kind of a silly thing. It ain't silly if you're the one who's lost your keys. And so here's the thing about that. Whether you're facing cancer or whether you've lost your keys, pray about it. Hello. Whether your situation is just so dire that there's absolutely no way anybody but God Himself can move your mountain, or whether you just need to find your keys, pray about it. Well, God doesn't care about that. He doesn't. Here's the thing. He cares about you. The keys are immaterial. He cares about you. And because you care about the keys, He cares about the keys. Get that. There is nothing too big or too small. There's nothing so great or so insignificant that you can't pray about it. Pray about everything. In every situation. In everything. Pray about everything in every situation. And then it says, by prayer and petition, present your request to God. Now we're going to talk about the how a little bit, all right? So how do we pray? You pray, and then you offer petition. Again, Friday night, confirmation. Tony gets up and starts sharing, and I wanted to say, stop. You've been reading my sermon notes. He started talking about this very issue, that there's prayers, which is the idea of general communication with God. And then there's petitions. That's when we get specific. See, sometimes you just need to know the nearness of God just so you can enjoy His presence. And sometimes you need a specific answer. When you've lost your keys, you don't want to just say, Lord, just help us. Help you with what? Lord, you know what we need. Yeah, He wants you to pray specifically. He wants you to pray in detail. Prayers and petitions. Lord, you know that child of mine that's wayward. That one that lives in this address. That one that has strayed from you in this way. Lord, the one whose name is first and last. Lord, you know that one. Get a hold of them. Send somebody to pray specific. Not, Lord, just help. No, that's okay to pray that. Sometimes that's all you can pray. Lord, help. You know, you're at a loss for words. But when you know what needs to be done, when you know, and there's a specific thing going on, pray specifically. Pray in detail. Be specific. Another thing I looked at. How many have the idea that when we pray, what is the first thing to come to your mind? When someone says pray, what kind of posture comes to mind? Well, kneeling, perhaps. Eyes closed. Hands, I mean, you'll do, you say to the little children, let's pray over our food. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. God's not offended when we do that. He's not offended when we kneel. He's not offended when we close our eyes. He's not offended when we fold our hands. But I would like for you to find a passage in Scripture where they closed their eyes and folded their hands. There's nothing wrong with it. You can feel free to do that. But let me tell you what I did find. I found all kinds of interesting postures of the people of God, the heroes of faith, whenever they prayed. You ready? Most of them prayed with their eyes open, hands lifted. Some prayed with their face toward heaven. Some prayed kneeling. Some prayed sitting. Some were lying down. Some fell prostrate before the Lord. Some were standing. Some were walking. Some were in their rooms. Some were in their closets. Some were on the rooftop, in caves, in the belly of a well, out loud, silently, privately, with others, with sighs, with spoken words, with groans, with shouts, with songs. Some were short prayers, some were long prayers, some were with tears, and some were with laughter. Some were made during the day, and some were made at night. Some were in times of desperation. Others were made in times of delight. Sounds a little bit like Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and all kinds of requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying. Just pray. Well, you know, I don't know that I'm in the right frame of mind. You know, that's good advice for people who are already certain kind of people, but God doesn't want to hear from me. Nonsense. He absolutely does want to hear from you. The only prayer He's not going to hear from you is the one that you don't pray. I don't know, preacher, it's been so long for me since I was in a spiritual place where I felt like I even could pray. You need to pray more than anybody. Can I tell you, He's never going to turn to you and say, by the way, I'm upset with you. It's been a long time since we talked. I'm not going to listen to you. He'll never do that to you. He will never do that to you. Just pray. But I don't know if I'm spiritual enough. None of us are spiritual enough. Just pray. But I don't know. I'm just not so sure. I don't even know where I stand with God. Pray about that, why don't you? Just pray. Just pray. Pray every day, by the way. Pray every day. You don't have to pray for hours and hours and hours. Some people say, well, if you're going to pray, you need to set aside a specific time, first thing in the morning. And if that works for you, great. But for me, I don't do well that way. I've got to pray in the evening. It's better for me in the evening. I think He'd rather hear from me in the evening than to not hear from me at all. I know it's better for me. I try to pray in the mornings, and as long as I can get a cup of coffee in me, I might be all right. So maybe for some of you, it's better in the middle of the afternoon. I don't know. Just pray. And just make it a discipline. Discipline yourself. Discipline yourself to pray. It'll start out and it'll be a chore. It'll be, oh, that's right. Set an alarm if you have to. Whatever you got to do, just remind yourself to pray. But that seems like it's just work, salvation. We're not talking about getting saved. We're talking about praying. We're talking about relieving the anxiety in your life. God has provided this for you, an ability for you to talk to Him and Him to talk to you. Just discipline yourself and begin to pray. Start today. Start today. Just pray. And then there'll be some times when it's not just those disciplined prayers that you offer every day. Sometimes it's crises prayers. You didn't see this coming at the beginning of the day, but something blindsides you. Pray about it. You don't have time. That thing just snuck up on you. You didn't have time to pray and fast for 2 weeks getting ready for it. It just happened to you out of the blue. Pray. Get a hold of someone or just talk to Jesus. Just say, Lord, this thing has blindsided me, and I'm not sure what to do. Lord, I just need you to help me right now. And it doesn't have to be real sophisticated. Just talk to him. Do you think he understands vernacular? I knew one guy, bless his heart, when you would talk to him, he was, you know, you're getting ready to say something negative about someone when you have to say bless his heart, right? Well, someone said, Southerners can say anything they want to about someone as long as they preface it with bless his heart, you know. He's as ugly as a mud fence, bless his heart, you know. Well, this guy, bless his heart, he had this really thick, he sounded like he was eating marbles. He just had a blah, just kind of garbled speech, and just an old country boy, but he was one of the deacons in our first church that we pastored, and he was that's just the way he spoke. I could barely understand him half the time. But whenever he would pray out loud, I'd call on him to pray in the church service, and he would go into this way. Our great God and Father, we do thank thee for thy bounty. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. God's not offended by that kind of praying. But how many of you know God understands hillbilly? He understands tears. He understands that you've only got 5 minutes and can't dedicate 5 hours. He gets all of that. Just pray. Make it a discipline to pray. Pray whenever those immediate emergency circumstances come up. And then just pray throughout the day. You don't have to be in church. You don't have to be in a closet. You don't have to be in your special designated chair in your life. You don't have to be in... You can be riding in the car, just praying. And it could be a two-minute prayer. It might pray all the way to work, or it might be just a one sentence. Just talk to him and let him talk to you. When I do a lot of my praying when I'm mowing the grass? People probably think I'm crazy. Ride by and see me out there talking to myself. I'm just praying, man, just talking to the Lord. I ain't got nothing else to do but mow grass and pray. Just talk to him. Just, here, you know what? Just relax. Just relax and talk to the Lord. And you're going to find, I guarantee, just like you can't praise him and worry at the same time, just like that anxiety and tension loses all of its power whenever there's gentleness in the room, just like remembering that he's nearby just sets your mind and heart at ease, you cannot, I challenge you, you cannot worry and pray at the exact same time. You can't. And so because God doesn't want me to live in anxiety, he's provided these things for me. He's provided all kinds of abundance for me. And one of the things that I'm going to dedicate myself to this week, and I'm going to challenge you to do the same, is pray. When that situation comes up and you begin to feel that tension and that anxiety rise, just say, Lord, I need you to help me right now. And that may be all you have time for, and that may be all you feel like you can pray at that moment, but that's okay. Just pray. Give it to the Lord. Give it to the Lord. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together. Thank you for your patience. Wow. I don't know about you guys, but I personally have been needing these reminders from Philippians. God doesn't intend for me to live a life of anxiety either. So I will rejoice. I will rejoice. I'm going to choose to let the Holy Spirit produce a gentle heart and a gentle spirit in me. Amen. I'm going to remember by his Spirit through prayer that he's just nearby. I'm not in this alone. Great God of the universe is with me, Brother Freer. He's nearby. And then he's provided for me this amazing privilege of prayer. Amen? Amen. Hey, look. I can't just let us go just yet. I know, you guys are awesome. You're amazing. Thank you so, so much. But here's the thing. If all we do is come and hear a word that might be a little bit encouraging, and we don't provide some opportunities, then really there's no change that's taking place. So here's what I want us to do. Is there anybody, I'll be the first one, okay, so you know you're not alone. Is there anybody that this week or this month or this year has just been a really stressful time for you, and you've just about reached your limit? Yeah. Yeah. God's got a remedy. He doesn't intend for us to live these kinds of lives, lives filled with anxiety. You want to come on down, brother? You come on down. That's fine. This brother, you need some help? Come on right down here. We're going to pray with you in just a minute, and then we'll talk to you. What's going on, man? Uh-huh. Oh, boy. Okay, well, we'll talk about that in just a minute. I think so, too. I think God wants to help you. Amen? I do. We're going to pray. Anybody want to come and help me pray with this gentleman real quick? Don't worry. We're not worried about that, brother. We're not worried about that. We're just glad you're here this morning. I believe God brought you in to hear that he loves you. You hear that? He loves you. All right. Thank you, men. Anybody else just want to say, yeah, man, I just need God today. I don't even know how to express all the anxiety and the stress and the worry that's going on in my life. Anybody just want to say, yeah, that's me. Let's pray together. Can we do that? These men are ministering to our brother here, but I want to pray with you. Father, today in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you are an ever-present help in our time of need. Lord, we thank you for the almighty provision that you've given us through your word, by your spirit, through this body of Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you're addressing, that you're bringing to the surface all the things that create such anxiety and worry and stress for us. And Lord, it's not your will that we live that way. And so today, Lord, we're going to follow the admonition of your word. We're going to hear what you have to say. We're going to put it into practice. We're going to rejoice. We're going to let you work gentleness into our life. We're going to recognize your nearness, and we're not going to neglect prayer, God, that when we don't know where else to go, thank you that we can pray. When all of our resources have come to an end, thank you, Lord, that yours have just started. And so, Lord, we commit ourselves today, right now, to prayer. Don't let us be fearful. Don't let us be overcome and overwhelmed and torn apart, but let us pray. In Jesus' name. Hey, look, I want to bless you this morning. They're still ministering to my brother here, but I want to bless you guys, okay? And I want to let you know as well, if you want to come up and talk to me or one of our elders when we're finished, we would love the opportunity to do that, but I want to bless you right now, okay? Father, in Jesus' name, I want to bless your people in your name. I want them to enjoy your peace this week. You want them to enjoy your peace this week. Lord, you want to bless them with peace of mind and with certainty in their hearts, Lord, that they don't have to be concerned that no one cares and that no one understands. Lord, let them know. Remind them of your very own nearness this week. Cause them to turn to you in prayer in every situation. And when they do, God, I know they'll find you near. I know they'll find you ready. Lord, I bless them now with your peace, with your presence, with your abundance, with your provision in every situation of their life. I bless them now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hey, God bless you guys. Thanks for being here. If you want to come talk to me, I'd love to talk to you. Amen. God bless you.